We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, I'm Andy Herman of the Pack a Day podcast. I'm here to tell you about Tick Pick. Tick Pick should be your very first choice to buy football tickets because they save fans money by never charging any service fees ever. TickPick is the exclusive ticketing partner for the Pack-A-Day podcast and the Blue Wire Network.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day podcast.
Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Dusty Evely. With me tonight is Sarah. No Steve, unfortunately. We missed you all last week. Sarah was busy with work stuff, and I was busy with screaming my lungs out at a sweaty rock show. So we were both doing roughly the same thing. But it's good to be back. We missed Steve, but it's good. I know I feel good being back. So, Sarah, how are you doing? I know the game was less than ideal, but how are you doing today?
I'm great. It's cold for Florida right now. It's in the 40s and 50s here. So that's cold for me, and I'm very happy about that. I'm through my work event, and everything went really well. I'm off today, Wednesday, when you guys are listening to this. So I'm feeling great. I'm like ready now to just enjoy the holiday, talk some Packers. And, you know, anyone that's been listening knows I've kind of been stressed and with work and everything, and now things seem like they're slowing down a little bit, so that's nice, especially during the holiday season.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm around the same. I was not have nearly as much going on as you did at work last week. I'm glad you made it out alive and okay. The game this past weekend was less than ideal, but it didn't hit me that hard. And I took all of this week off, so I'm living life, man. I'm still checking in on some work stuff, but for the most part, man, I'm free and clear, and I'm living real nice. Say living real nice. I got up at like 6 o'clock this morning to take my kids to school, and it was 19 degrees outside. So it's still like, you know, not perfect. But you know, we're doing good. We're doing good. So let's touch on, before we get the news and notes, Sarah, what were your thoughts on the game this past weekend? You know, it was a bit up and down, and then ended, you know, obviously in a loss, but do you have any major takeaways or any thoughts from that game?
Yeah, the major thing was that it was just a little too late. The Packers, they really kind of felt like they were sleepwalking through parts of the game, especially in the first half, and particularly on offense. And then in the second half, things really started to heat up. I think, you know, they scored on four straight drives or something like that. But it was just too late. It was like, where was this earlier? You know, the Packers needed to just kind of step it up right from the start. And oh, the old defense was back. I did not miss them. They did not look great. So I'm hoping, you know, it sucks that it was a division game. You know, if you lose a game like that, you wish it was just, you know, not in your division. But what can you do? I still think that they'll win the division and that things will be fine. But obviously, huge game this week against the Rams. So, you know, if you're going to play kind of crappy, hopefully you get it out of your system and then you can bounce back against a really good team this weekend.
Yeah, it feels like they went big play hunting early. I know the Vikings were susceptible to that, so it feels like they leaned on that maybe a little bit longer than they probably should have. Because like I said, they did four straight. They had one play kneel down to end the first half. But you know, they had the DeGuara touchdown in that 2-minute drill to end the first half, and then they had three possessions in the second half. One of them was a one play 75-yard touchdown possession. That's all they got. they got three possessions. They scored touchdowns in every single one of them. So, I mean, I do feel like if, you know, anyone came down with one of those Cousins picks, if there wasn't the, was it Kiki got called for the roughing the passer that took one off the board. And if Savage had, you know, held on to the one in the post that, that kind of hit him in the hands and got knocked away, or the one in that last drive, like, we'd be talking about this game way differently. Like, they had, defense didn't look great, but they had chances at turnovers and wasn't there. So it, you said not great division, but it didn't kick me that much. This loss didn't hit me as much as I kind of thought it would. The Vikings have been playing good ball, and yeah, the defense just got bodied, man. It happens sometimes. We're gonna move on to news and notes. I mean, the big one, and this, you know, super sad, Sarah, the news has come out that, you know, it looks like Matt Nagy's not going to make it out the week with the Bears. You know, I just, for me personally, like, you need to give a guy like that 12 years to install that system. You know, you really need to give that guy time. They're not letting him, you know, maximize his vision, kind of make it through the other side. So that, like, it sucks. But yeah, in all seriousness, it does look like he's probably gone. And that sucks for Packers fans. And you also never like to see a guy lose his job. So it also sucks for him and his family and all that. But Sarah, what were your takeaways from just the weird way that this is announced that Nagy is likely gone?
It was just so, I don't want to say out of the blue, because it's not like the Bears are some great team, but usually it's kind of hinted at, you know, Rappaport or Schefter or Pelosello. One of them will say, like, hey, we're hearing things, or, you know, there's tension in the locker room. And then you don't hear about it for a few weeks, and then there's a really ugly loss, and you're like, oh, remember those tweets? Yeah, let's talk about that again. This was just kind of out of the blue. I went on Twitter and I'm, you know, scrolling through my feed, and then all of a sudden I see that and I'm like, what? Okay, I get why, but also what? And I had the same kind of initial reaction where I'm like, no, they need to sign him for a lifetime contract. Like, this has to be a thing. So it isn't surprising that he is probably out as the Bears coach, because they're not very good. But it is surprising the way it kind of went down and how sudden it happened, at least to me. I don't know how you feel, Dusty.
Yeah, yeah. Opening and just seeing, like, well, he's probably not making it past Thanksgiving. Well, that's a weird thing to read. Like you said, like, I assumed he wasn't going to make it through the year, but I don't know what they accomplished now. I mean, unless, like you said, unless they've lost a locker room. That was the McCarthy thing. When McCarthy was gone and he'd been there a long time, it was, this just isn't working anymore, and the locker room's starting to turn, and it's just ugly. And, like, we just, after that Cardinals game, man, they just couldn't make it out. Like, this is, like, before a game saying, probably not going to see the other side of this game for a midseason. It just, it's weird. It's really weird. So if they feel that it's in their best interest, that's fine. It's just, it felt very sudden. Well, at the same time, inevitable. Like, it was happening at some point. I just didn't expect it to, like, two days before a game, hey, he's probably not going to make it out of the week. This is weird. That I should not be reading this. And we're going to move on to actually something sad, and also, I don't know, slightly heartwarming, I guess. You know, obviously our hearts go out to everyone impacted by the tragedy of Waukesha, like, just an unspeakable tragedy. It was announced yesterday that J.J. Watt is pledging he's going to cover the funeral costs for all of the victims of that, which is, I mean, for all the things that you want to, that, you know, people want to say about the guy, he has a huge heart, and he has a huge heart for the community, for the state of Wisconsin. You know, clearly his home state there. So just hearing that, seeing that he's pledging to do that is it's tremendous. And at the same time, it's something that, like, it's not unexpected at all. Just given what Watt has done in the past. So, really, really just amazing gesture from Watt there. And again, I mean, hearts go out to everyone impacted by that, because it's just, I can't even imagine. To slightly lighter topics, I guess. If you've not read it, our buddy Matt Schneidman over at The Athletic wrote a tremendous piece on Davante Adams. Came out yesterday, I believe. Really, really awesome story. It kind of starts with, I think, a Thanksgiving Day game, or a Thursday night game, that Adams just absolutely had a terrible game and basically said, I hate football. And it takes you through, like, his childhood, his history, his family, and kind of his story and his rise through. So Sarah, just what were your thoughts on that story? It was just, I mean, Schneidman did a tremendous job with it. What were your thoughts on it overall?
Yeah, I mean, kudos to Matt. It was really well done. And if you aren't subscribed to The Athletic, right now they have a sale where you can literally subscribe for $1 a month. So this is the perfect time to do it and read that Davante Adams story. It was really just a deep dive into a guy that, as a Packers fan, you're like, I think I know, you know, a lot about this person. We've seen a lot of features on him, kind of his story. You know, he was a basketball player, turned football player, all that. But this was just so much more, and it really, his mom was heavily involved in the piece, and their relationship was highlighted a lot, and how it's kind of come full circle, how he, you know, always thought his mom was, or not thought, but his mom always was, you know, protecting him and looking out for his best interests and making sure, you know, he was okay and safe. And now he kind of returns the favor and is like, I have, you know, this life where I'm able to take care of her and my family, and it's really just kind of unreal. So it was also just kind of a perfect story, and I'm not sure if Matt timed it like this, but around Thanksgiving too, because thankfulness and just being grateful for what you have and love and family were just really common themes throughout the whole piece. And yeah, you can see why he is the way that he is. And a lot of Packers players, current and former, were featured. You know, James Jones was in it, Aaron Rodgers, Lazard, Derek Carr a lot, obviously, since they played together at Fresno State in college. And all of them, you know, say the same thing. He's a freak. He's so dedicated. He, you know, he's a terror to play against. And it was really just an exceptionally well done piece. And I definitely would check it out if you haven't already. And it made me just respect him even more. You know, I already respect the hell out of Davante, and it also makes you go, all right, yeah, he should go get paid. He should go get all the money in the world. And that's just kind of how I felt after reading it.
Yeah, Davante had that comment, I think, before the season started, and they asked him something about maybe a holdout or something going on that contract he wasn't going to get. And he was like, man, I came from $0. Like, whatever I'm making now, like, you know, I'm going to work. Like, I hope, you know, I hope I get paid. I hope it's here. But, like, I'm not holding out because I came from nothing. And so you got that, I mean, just earlier this year. And so to read that story with that as, like, setting the stage, tremendous job. And like Sarah said, if we're not getting paid for this, but if you're not subscribing to The Athletic already, like you said, the tremendous time to do it, and just, it's worth the price for that story alone. But there's just a ton of good stuff over there. So if you haven't already, read that piece. To other news and notes, God, this one sucks, man. Elton Jenkins officially moved to IR yesterday. After, you know, I think all of us, when we saw that he set and it was non-contact, like, okay, that's he's and we hope for the best, but that's likely his ACL, and it was. So I mean, Jenkins, the one guy in that line at this point that's like, we can't lose Elton Jenkins is gone. IR, done for the year, likely, you know, the bulk of next year. So that sucks. So to, you know, bring someone up, they brought Ben Braden up to the active roster. I thought Braden, you know, because it was basically his Braden, Runyon, and Newman. I thought Braden showed a lot of good stuff in preseason. You know, he kind of can get beat up at times, but as far as a guard, like, he's a vet. He's you know, he's done some of this before. He's seen some things. So as a guy coming in and just, you know, looking to contribute, you could do a lot worse than Ben Braden. So, you know, I can't say I'm excited to have him up, but to have a guy like that at the ready to bring up that, you know, can contribute and do something, like, that's, I don't know, not necessarily a luxury. It's not like Ben Braden's like a pro bowl guard or anything like that, but it's better than nothing, I guess. I mean, these circumstances are not great. But it's the best you can do under these circumstances. And the corresponding move as well, they signed John Dietzen, a guard, to the practice one. So you've got that kind of filled in. So Sarah, thoughts on, I mean, you made a noise, so you've already made your thoughts known, but thoughts on this Elton Jenkins, Ben Braden move here?
I mean, the Jenkins thing just sucks. It just sucks. That was definitely the worst part of the game, like, worse than the loss, worse than anything. Seeing that, I kind of had the same reaction, Dusty. Like, he fell over after he stepped with no contact, and I was just like, oh, no, yeah. It can't be another one. It cannot be another one. And sure enough, it was. So, obviously, you know, wishing him the best in his recovery, and hopefully Bakhtiari is back soon. They're going through the same injury. One is just starting. The other is hopefully coming out on the other side soon, but yeah, like you said, not an ideal situation. They kind of have to do what they have to do, and this is really just a formality more than anything. They, you know, they need to sign someone. They need to bring more players in the mix. And I am nervous about the line on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we all have our eyes on the offensive line as if it hasn't been enough shuffling already. Just another reason to be worried. So we talked about Bakhtiari. It sounds like he did have a scope procedure on his knee to kind of clean out some stuff. But, you know, as Rogers mentioned on McAfee yesterday, and I think there's a couple other reports as well, no one has a clear timeline on this, but they're saying no setbacks on that so far. So I know some people have been kind of hoping, you know, after they activated him off the PUP list, that maybe he was gonna, or IR, I can't remember which one he was on, that maybe he's gonna contribute right away. Like, it's an ACL tear and it's different for every person, and he's a big dude, and sometimes it takes a little longer. So I think the hope now is that he's back after the bye, but no one knows. We just know there have not been any setbacks. The news on Zadarius per Aaron Rodgers was slightly less than that. It was basically like, we hope he's back at some point. I think you mentioned Jair as well. Like, Jair's doing well. You know, they don't know when he's going to be back, but, you know, I guess things are progressing pretty well with Jair. And Zadarius was, we hope he's back. So, I mean, just that's about as vague as you can get. So hope to get back to Bakhtiari back after the bye. Those other two guys, who knows, but we're all just fingers crossed. I guess, I don't know, last news of note, make of it what you will. Buck Aikman and Aaron Andrews are going to be on the call for the game this weekend. So most people will get it. That's the national team there. I happen to like Joe Buck and I tolerate Troy Aikman. And Aaron Andrews is very good at her job. So I'm fine with that team. Sarah, do you have opinions on Joe Buck and Troy Aikman and Aaron Andrews?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I love Aaron Andrews. Joe Buck, he's kind of grown on me over time. And but I don't know. I get annoyed with Aikman sometimes. I feel like he's so hard on the Packers more than any other team. And as, you know, the fan in me gets upset. I'm like, why are you saying those things? And yes, we know, like, you don't have to say it out loud. Sometimes we get it, but it'll be fine. I mean, they're certainly a better group than others, so it's not the worst thing ever.
Yeah, Aikman at times makes really good points. He sees the game in a very interesting way sometimes. Other times he's overly critical. And there's times, man, you can just, I'm talking about this with my brothers when we're watching the game. There's times where, like, he's just, you can tell he's two words into it. And, like, it's going to take him 2 minutes to make this point. I already know where he's going. Like, I know exactly where this is heading. So it's miss with him, but I like Buck a lot.
Was it him or Buck that said daddy on national television?
No, that was Aikman. Like, yeah, no, Aikman called Joe Buck daddy, I think.
It was like, give it to me, daddy, or something like that.
Yeah.
I just remember I'm sitting there, you know, I have my laptop in front of me. I'm typing, taking notes for the game recap, and I hear that. And I just kind of paused. And I look over at Bailey, and now I said, did he just say that? Am I hearing things, or was that a real thing that just happened?
So. Yeah. No, it was not a great moment for anyone involved. I certainly do not like it at all. But yeah, there's our news and notes. We're going to lead us in, Sarah. As always, Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee on Tuesdays. I watched some. It was refreshing how much football talk was involved. But you watched the whole thing, Sarah. Give us the rundown on some of the McAfee stuff.
Oh yes, he did not just talk football with Pat McAfee and the boys. Aaron Rodgers puked football. He vomited it. That's all he talked about. It was a lot, and I do have to say it was a little bit refreshing to hear some of that than some other nonsense that we had heard the last few weeks. But they did kind of talk about a little bit of everything, but definitely check it out because they talk for a long time and I don't want to sit here for 30 minutes and try to recap it all. So I'm just going to take some of the highlights. Basically, they asked, you know, how do you feel about a loss like that? And he just said, well, at this point, we're on to the next already. You know, it sucks. He thought that they were in rhythm, the offense at the beginning of the game, which I don't know if I totally agree with, but I guess they're the experts, so I don't want to argue with them. And he mentioned that, you know, a couple plays just got away from them, but that he agreed kind of what we were saying before, that they played well in the second half and they just couldn't close it out. We kind of got a little tiny bit more information about the toe mystery and what's happening there and how Aaron Rodgers sustained a toe injury while he was in quarantine. So we don't know a lot of information. We know that it's more painful apparently than turf toe. It's also apparently the pinky toe, which is interesting. And he said there are definitely options that he can consider, different treatment plans, but the one that he will not consider is sitting out, and that he will play through this. Even if, you know, in the off season, he might have to get surgery or something, he's going to play through it right now. He said sitting out is not an option. So that was definitely interesting to hear. McAfee and the boys asked him, hey, how much do you want that bye week? And he just kind of smiled and said, we need to get healthy. So thank you, Aaron Rodgers, for stating the obvious that there. He also talked a little bit more about the game and specifically the defensive scheme that Zimmer and the Vikings came out with, and how they're historically, you know, they apply really good pressure. In his words, he said, really, we can't say this word on the podcast, really effing good pressure throughout the day. And that, you know, it was a lot. He mentioned that Everson Griffin rocked him a few times, and that he saw them coming on the one touchdown to Devontae later in the game. And he was just glad that he looked up and saw Devontae do something crazy and was able to get the ball off because they were coming quick at him. He also mentioned, which I thought was very interesting, the little bit of misunderstanding, as he quoted, with Anthony Barr back in 2017, and how, you know, Barr landed on him, broke the collarbone. He thought he kind of flipped him the bird and was chirping at him afterwards. He said in 2018 that they talked about it and kind of patched things up. And now that they're really just past it and that there's an ingrained respect there since they play each other so often, he kind of mentioned the same thing with Kendricks. They've all been there for a while. You know, they play twice a year. So I thought that was very interesting because I'm still not over that. And every time I see Anthony Barr, I'm like, oh, it's Anthony Barr. So I'm glad that Rodgers could get through that. They also did talk a little bit about Ted Lasso. And apparently Rodgers took McAfee's recommendation. He watched it and he really liked it. So, you know, we're big Ted Lasso fans on this podcast. So that was nice to hear. And he also talked a little bit about how he really, really missed the guys when he was in quarantine. And I thought this was interesting. He mentioned, you know, he got a glimpse of retirement this offseason and what life could be like after football. And he said for a lot of guys, including him, that have been so close to the game for so long, that that can be really scary. But now he enjoyed that time. He knows what it's like. He kind of got a sneak peek into that world. And he said, I'm not scared of life after football anymore. But that he's so glad that he came back because he loves the guys. He loves the team, the locker room and all that. And he just missed them badly during quarantine and was really desperate to get back with them. So, again, kind of a good sign for the future and maybe Aaron Rodgers potentially staying. It seems like he loves his team. He loves the guys. And if the Packers are able to maintain, you know, a good chunk of those guys, I think it would be really hard for Aaron Rodgers to walk away and go somewhere else because he loves some of his teammates. And obviously he loves his coach wearing that "Our coach is hotter than yours" shirt, which was amazing. And then the last thing was, of course, the Aaron Rodgers book club. And this is week 12. And Rodgers had, you know, he had given us a few serious picks. We know we talked about that. And he said he wanted to lighten the mood a little bit this week. And he did so with "Welcome to Dunder Mifflin," which the guy that plays Kevin in The Office helped write this book. And also the guy that adapted the series for the U.S., since it originated in the UK. So they wrote this book together. You know, Rodgers is a huge Office fan. He was actually in The Office. He said that during, you know, 2020, beginning of quarantine, he actually watched The Office twice. So I'm sure a lot of us can relate to that. And that was pretty much it. He actually did play the guitar at the end, and Pat McAfee's face was priceless when he actually... He played a few chords, not a lot or anything crazy, but the fact that he actually stayed and played, Pat was like, oh my gosh. So definitely go check that clip out. It's pretty funny, but good week. Lots of football talk. And trust me, there was a lot more than what I mentioned too.
Packers football is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Packer tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's T-I-C-K-P-I-C-K, is the original no-fee ticket site, and the only one you'll ever need is your go-to for all NFL tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all of their NFL tickets. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. Recently, I was just able to pick up tickets to Packers Vikings in Minnesota. Going to be heading west for that game. Attending my first game in the new Vikings stadium. Cannot wait for that. Let me tell you, it was so incredibly easy to use TickPick. No awful service fees. I cannot recommend it enough. And the easiest way to do so is by going to tickpick.com/packaday today to save $10 on your first order of Packers tickets or any other tickets that you want to purchase.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I watched, I didn't get a chance to watch all of, I watched some of the clips that were posted, and I know he talked about the touchdown MVS and kind of how it was set up by some of the stuff they ran earlier. And I love anytime Rodgers really gets into, you know, that's not even like super nitty gritty, but into somewhat of the nitty gritty of the play setup and why it worked and what he saw. And, you know, talked about Harrison Smith and how good Harrison Smith is at disguising that stuff and how he knew like the boundary corner was not going to sink back because he didn't on the earlier play. And like just all of these little things that I mean, it's amazing to me, you know, you listen to that and you hear him talk about this and he's referencing plays from 5 years ago. And you just think of like all of the thought that goes into the pre-snap and then post-snap as well. Like all of that, that he's talking about and he's kind of walking people through now, all this stuff happens between the pre-snap, what's he seeing, and then the post-snap as well. So just that, you know, you got to see that in the moment. So always that high level look there is always just incredible to me. So whenever he starts getting into football and talk about why things work the way they do, I sit up and sit up a little straighter and take notice of all that stuff because it's super, super interesting. So very happy to have that back in my life. Just some more just Aaron Rodgers nerd football stuff, man. I just can't get enough of that. All right, we got a game this weekend, Sarah. You know, we talked about a bunch of stuff. I had to look up, you know, I'm not afraid to admit, I had to look up to see who it was against because I roughly knew who it was. And like 5 minutes before we set record, I was like, oh, it's the Rams, right? Like we're facing the Rams this week. So Packers are facing the Rams this week. Rams are good. And as always, you know, we look at what the Packers offense is, what we're looking for against the opposing defense. So I get Sarah, you just talked for a while. I'm going to kick us off with what I'm looking for here. I'm looking at just how, I mean, it's kind of broad, but how they attack this Rams defense. You know, obviously this Rams defense was the number one unit last year under Brandon Staley. And then Staley went, you know, took the head coaching job out in, out with the Chargers. They're still a top 10 defense. You know, they've still got Aaron Donald wrecking stuff up front and Leonard Floyd off the edge and Jalen Ramsey. And they lost a couple guys, but they're still a solid unit. I think they're 10th against the pass, 7th against the run, I think 8 overall or something like that by Football Outsiders DVOA. So top 10 unit, still very, very good. And, you know, roughly, it's going to sound boring. I think it's, you know, just their patience. How do the Packers show patience? Because what they've shown so far, you know, we know Aaron Jones is out. I don't know how that approach is going to change. You know, Dylan looked good. I really like Dylan, but I do think they missed something with that kind of the dynamic ability that Jones gives them. Even with, I like Patrick Taylor, but I think him and Dylan are similar in some respect. So is where they really miss someone like Kylan Hill as well. So even that pony package, it, teams are not respecting them nearly as much, I don't think. And so I'm curious to see what they do there. But they're going to have to lean on the run. One thing the Rams will do is they'll show, you know, a lot of what they did last year, start with a lot of two high looks, and they spin down to get that safety in the box and allow those early downs. So they show you a light box to kind of like, hey, run into this. Isn't this look nice? And then they'll board that up. And so still good against the run, even though they show those light boxes early. And so that's something to look at. And the Packers need to, and this is where it gets tricky, man, because the Packers are going to likely need to run on that run game, be patient, allow that quick passing game. How does the run game look with that offensive line kind of dinged up? Those holes that used to be there might not be there, might not be as big, but they're going to have to stay patient. You know, last year in the playoffs, that big gain was Lazard, and that was a schemed up thing off of, they kept running that same kind of wide zone crack block with Lazard over and over again. And they finally jump it and Lazard takes off downfield. So I think they're going to have to do something like that again. It's not going to be bombs away like it was against the Vikings. I think it's going to be a few strategic, schemed up shot plays. And I'm curious who that guy is going to be, because the easy answer is going to be MVS because he's fast. But in the playoffs, it was Lazard. It's, you're playing off those tendencies. So is it going to be DeGuara? You know, DeGuara caught that touchdown last week and he's maybe back in Rodgers' good graces a little bit more. Is it going to be DeGuara? Is it going to be someone like Daphne? Is it going to be Cobb? You know, EQ got some run this past week and I thought looked really, really good and did some nice things as a blocker. I think it's, how are they going to, you know, if Lazard isn't back, how are they going to kind of manufacture that? Who's going to be in that role that they're going to kind of set those plays up for? So really it's, are they going to be patient? Are they going to kind of stick to that run game, short game, quick game that kind of, that they weren't doing until late in the, against the Vikings? And when they set that stuff up, those strategic shots, who are those going to? Maybe it's just the DeGuara fanboy in me, Sarah, but I really hope it's DeGuara kind of on one of those design shots off of a run look or something. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. It's not going to be an easy game. I don't know anything about football at this point, about what teams are good, but I don't think it's going to be an easy game. But that's kind of some of the stuff I'm looking for. What are you looking for in this game, Sarah?
Yeah, mine is really simple, and it's just how the O-line protects Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, they're banged up. No Bakhtiari still. Jenkins is now going to be out of the picture, and they've already been struggling the last couple of weeks. Seems like at times Rodgers either has all the time in the world or he has no time and really no in between. So I'm a little nervous about this, you know, especially with against the Rams. You know, they have Donald and other really just talented guys on the front there. And they like to apply pressure and get to the quarterback and get in your face. And that's something that is really bad timing for the Packers. Even if, you know, they had a little bit of time to get healthy for the bye and they played the Rams after, that would be a little more ideal, but hey, this is the schedule. They got to take it, as they say, one week at a time. These are the cards that they've been dealt. But that's really what I'm going to be looking for and how they're going to protect Rodgers. And that kind of leads us right into our prop bet for the week too. So no prop bet last week since we were all out and about, but this week our prop bet is specifically about protecting Aaron Rodgers and how the Packers are going to do against the Rams. So the Rams are sacking their opposing team's quarterback on average of 2.9 times per game this season. And the Packers are allowing an average of 1.8 sacks per game this season. So our prop bet will be over under 2.5 sacks for Sunday. So Dusty, what are your thoughts here?
Well, I tried during our off week to burn the records here. And so we were starting anew and we didn't. So really it doesn't matter what I think, Sarah. I'm going to go under. I mean, all signs to me point to the over, especially as we just talked about the shuffling on the offensive line and Jenkins going down and Bakhtiari not back and all of the stuff that goes into that. I do think they're going to try to lean into the run game a little bit, which didn't work all that well against the Vikings. You know, the Vikings kind of stuffed that up pretty well, and so they did have to go to that. But I think it's, I mean, to me, maybe it's just, I don't know, the romantic in me looking back at that Eagles game, was it 2016, I guess, when the Packers went in there and it was the number one pass defense and Rodgers just shredded them. And it was quick game and it was matchup, and that ball was three step, five step, seven step, and out. And so to me, that maybe again, just the hope in me, get the run game set up, go quick game, bring them up with the quick game. They had a really good plan in the playoffs against them, and then take them deep when you need to take them deep. But I don't think we're going to see a game with Rodgers holding the ball a whole lot. He did that against Minnesota. I think this is a game that it's going to be on them to just get that ball out. So I'm going to go under, which means the Rams are going to sack them like 10 times or something based on how my season is going picking these. But I'm taking the under here.
You'll be pleased to hear that both Steve and I are taking the over. So
yeah, book the over.
So Steve sent us his pick a few minutes before we started recording, and I'm also going to take the over. Just because I'm, like I talked about before, I'm worried about this. I think the Packers can definitely win, but it's going to be a dogfight. They're really going to have to fight in this one. I'd love to see what you were just talking about, Dusty, if they just shred them like they did the Eagles a few years ago. I remember watching that game at my apartment and just how awesome it was. And that's what we'd all love to see, but we never know with the Packers. So just an update. For our records for the prop bet on the year, Steve is still kicking our butts at 7-3. I've officially reached 500 at 5-5, and Dusty is 2-8. So we'll see this weekend if he can get one game closer to us. All right. And as always, we're going to close out the show answering your questions. So thank you guys for sending in some lovely questions like you do every week. Our first question is from Daniel Kotnick, and he wants to know, what should the standard Mississippi blitz count be during backyard football? Is 3 too short? Is 5 too much? Dusty, what are your thoughts here?
We always did 3, but it was 3 in that it wasn't rushed. You had to count it out. You played against some people. It was like, 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi. No, you're not doing that. So the way we did it, it was 1 Mississippi, you know, say it out loud, count it out, like pronounce every syllable, and you got one no Mississippi blitz per drive. I think it's been a while since I've done backyard football, but 3 Mississippi, you know, I don't know, 5 Mississippi. No, what, no, like what offensive line am I playing behind there? Like, this, no, I'm not just sitting back there biting my time waiting for something to come open. I still have to make a decision. So 3 Mississippi is how we always played.
Yeah, I agree. When we were growing up and my cousins still lived in Florida, we would play every Thanksgiving when we all got together, and it was always 3 Mississippis. But yes, as children, everyone was like, 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, and did it really fast. So standard, the rule should be like a real one that's not rushed. But I agree. And I think 5 is a little too much, especially if you're actually doing it the right way. Our next question is from Matt Pickett. He has a two-part question. The first part is, I just bought Packer stock. It made me want to do the same for other things I love, like hugs, high fives, and warm, melty cookies. If you could buy stock in something for which it doesn't exist, what would it be? And then an obvious food question, what's your favorite drink on a hot day? So I'll go first. And I feel like this is an easy kind of like bait question for us, because Oreo does not have stock, and I would buy stock in Oreo if that was possible. They're one of the most recognizable brands on the planet. They're not going away. Everyone loves them. They have consistent, you know, revenue coming in. So I would go with Oreo because I love them. And then obvious food question for Matt, favorite drink on a hot day. I could always go for a good smoothie on a hot day. I pretty much will drink any smoothie. And it's always just really nice and refreshing, especially when it's hot.
I'm buying stock in puppy breath because it's just adorable. And on a hot day, lemonade, probably. I don't know, if I'm sitting on the deck or something, like a summer beer, like a shandy or something, like I'd really get down with. But just give me some cold lemonade. Or sweet tea, like southern sweet tea. Just drench that stuff in sugar, and I'm good to go.
Alrighty then. And our last question this week is from Brian Hartstad, and he wants to know what currently injured Packer is most critical to the team's success going forward? And then what makes a good leftover Thanksgiving sandwich?
There's so many injured Packers to choose from. Just a veritable who's who. I'm going to go Bakhtiari. Jenkins isn't coming back. You know, he just got injured, so I removed him from the equation. You know, obviously the defensive guys, but Barry has shown that, I mean, they were getting pressure. They're getting pressure with Preston Smith, Kenny Clark playing out of his mind. And then guys, you know, Spider Garvin was playing like 50%+ of snaps and doing decent. Like their method is less like shooting the gaps and more just compressing the pocket. And they've got the bodies to do that. Kingsley Kiki's been doing pretty well. Dean Lowry's been playing well. They've got bodies. They've got enough to get a pass rush. So someone like Z, I don't know that they need, it'd be nice to have him, Rashawn Gary, obviously, but they can make do. And same thing with the defense. Stokes got roasted, but I feel like they could, Justin Jefferson's an animal. Like I feel like that's, defense is not great, and it'd be nice to have them back. But I think if this team goes as far as the offense can carry them, the defense being very, very good is awesome. But if the offense can't get rolling, if the offense can't find a rhythm, this team is not Super Bowl contender. And so I think getting Bakhtiari back, solidifying that left side of the line, especially with Elton Jenkins out, I think that's the best way to kind of get this offense back up and running the way they need to be going. And the defense will be good enough, I believe. So that's kind of where I'm at. For me, it was Bakhtiari, and I mean the second it's Jair, but honestly, it's fairly distant for me. I think it's Bakhtiari by a mile.
And then, what makes a good leftover Thanksgiving sandwich?
Ham, smoked ham, like just give me that. I don't even care about anything else on it. Just ham on bread, or just ham by itself, and just give me all of that.
All right, I'll answer the questions backwards since we're talking about Thanksgiving sandwiches already. For me, it's the sauce that you're putting on the leftover sandwich, because sometimes it can get too dry and you have like a dinner roll and then the turkey or ham, whatever you use, and it's just a lot, and then it's really dry and it doesn't taste as good. So if you have turkey, sprinkling a little gravy on top of that, and then ham, I know sometimes there's like a honey glaze, mm-hmm. that kind of takes the leftover sandwich to the next level. You know, a lot of times you're heating these things up in the microwave, so the food gets dried out. It doesn't taste as good. You know, bring a little sauce in there and it's a game changer. And then you took my answer. I was going to say Bakhtiari, so I'll go with Jair, and just because I still don't know if I trust Kevin King fully. And Stokes is really coming into his own, and he's looked really great. You know, he's made some what you could call rookie mistakes here and there. But I think having him and having Jair in there and them being together would just be wonderful. And I would like to see that. I do agree that Bakhtiari is kind of the number one person that they need to get back, especially with Jenkins just, you know, tearing his ACL and being out for the season. But Jair coming back would also be really critical to the team's success. So that wraps up our questions. Thank you guys for sending some in. Dusty, Thanksgiving this week, tomorrow actually, for mm-hmm. when everyone is listening mm-hmm. to this. Do you have any thoughts about Thanksgiving, final thoughts in general? Would love to hear them.
I love Thanksgiving. We're doing two this year for reasons. Just our family can't make one. So we're doing one small one at my house on Thursday, and I'm smoking a turkey and I'm smoking a ham. Nice. And I had plans to make some, I think it's Hasselback potatoes, I think, on the grill, which I've never done before. And I'm hyped about that. So it's going to be good. I mean, I've got no plans other than just eating an ungodly amount of food, which is good. It's going to be a good Thanksgiving is my understanding. So, and then Saturday is with the larger family, and I'll be making pumpkin pies and stuff for that. So it's going to be good. Final thoughts, just the stuff I'm working on, man, I guess. Yesterday over at Pack Report, I wrote about the two Preston Smith sacks from this past week, which was nice. One was just like a straight bully move. Like he just kind of disengaged and just shoved Kirk Cousins in the shoulder really, really hard. And he fell down. It felt meaner than tackling him. We just kind of like a one hand shove to the shoulder, knocked him down. That one got me pretty good. And then today at Pack Report, I've got one on the Haas concept. The Packers running that and hinted to Guar on that on the 2nd and 20 to set up a manageable 3rd and 8 ended up being. So I've got that. And then today also at Cheesehead TV, I've got the Passing Chronicles, which I go a little EQ heavy on. I think 4 plays, but technically around 6 plays. And I kind of look into just some stuff that EQ did on a couple of those, which I think he, you know, had a really nice game. I think he's still somewhat limited, but with the ball in his hands in space, he does some really nice things. So we got to see that on display, and it reignited my love for EQ from this past week, which has never really gone away. It's always kind of been there, but it's exciting to see that. So that's going to be on Cheesehead today. And I'm also kind of just, I'm pumping out as many as I can of just some YouTube stuff. So I've got a YouTube channel. All the stuff's relatively rough, and I'm just walking through usually 1 or 2 plays a pop. I'm trying to keep them under 5 to 6 minutes of just kind of walking through a place instead of writing about it and doing all that. I kind of talk my way through it and draw on the screen. So I'm sure there's lots of oohs and ums and I don't know what's happening here and that kind of thing. But it's, I think it's working well. I'm enjoying kind of doing it. It's kind of a quicker way to get to more plays that I wouldn't necessarily have time to. And some people seem to like the video aspect of it and they can follow along more than writing. So I've got a couple of those up now, and I think more of those are going to be coming later in the week. A lot of stuff, man. I took the week off of work. So I'm just trying to roll through all this, man. What about you?
I'm excited for Thanksgiving and I'm doing something very small with my parents and my grandma, and I think my brother and his girlfriend might swing by, but just us at my parents' house. But excited to have that time. It's always wonderful to go home and see everyone. And I also love just the food and everything. So looking forward to that. And I'll have my recap up next Sunday, hopefully after Packers win. And if you missed it, I was on the AJ Dillon show on Monday over at Cheesehead TV, and it's up on YouTube. So definitely check it out. It was a really cool show. I continue to be impressed by him, not just as a player, but as a person. He's a really cool guy, and he's super, super nice. But that's pretty much it. You know, Thanksgiving is always a time to reflect on what you're thankful for, and we're thankful that we have the opportunity to do this, that we've met and, you know, developed friendships through, you know, podcasting, writing, and talking about the Packers. You know, Steve isn't here with us, and he hasn't been able to join the last couple of weeks, but we are so thankful for him, for our group together, and of course for you guys for supporting us, sending in questions, listening, leaving reviews. It really means more than you probably know, and I'm really thankful for that, and that we've been able to do it as long as we have, and looking forward to the 3 of us getting back together. I'm sure that episode is going to be just bananas, since we'll have all this pent up tension and hot takes to fire at each other. But thank you guys. You know, we're so thankful. It sounds corny, but we're thankful for you. We're thankful for the Pack a Day podcast and that we have the platform to do this every single week. So that will wrap us up for this week for the Thanksgiving week episode. For those of you that are celebrating, whether you're doing something small or large, we hope you guys have a great time, that you stay safe, that and you spend it with the people that you love and care about. We will see you next week. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Packaday Podcast, at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher 4, and at Steve Perhatch. And hopefully the Packers come through with a win against the Rams this week. So we'll talk to you guys soon. And as always, go Pack Go!